Greetings, everyone, if you join with me in prayer. Almighty Father, we're so grateful, we're so humbled that we can come before you on your Sabbath day to learn more about your word, to apply it to our hearts, to our minds, to become a veritable son or daughter in your eyes one day when Yahshua comes to return to gather his saints, to be in your kingdom. That's our ultimate goal, that's our desire. As we live out this world, as we teach the world your truths, we pray, Almighty Yahweh, that you'll be with us, that you'll be with us today as the message goes forth. Let it be your words and not ours. And we thank you for the healings. Thank you for the brethren who have claimed that you have healed them and now are rejoicing and health and doing well. We pray also that you'll be with those who are still suffering, that they might come to know you through the power of prayer and their faith. So this prayer and petition we ask in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, as we get our campground up there ready for the Feast of Tabernacles, I got to thinking about our spiritual life in Messiah Yahshua. Now, what does that have to do with camping? And how it differs from our 21st century world out there. Several families are planning to tent for Tabernacles this October. You know, there's something very exciting and transcendent about living out in nature. It just does something to your inner being. I know an elder and family friend for many years told me how when he was working up in Alaska for the Bureau of Land Management, he said he and his wife lived in a tent for 6 months in Alaska. Now, I don't know how many of us are up to that task, but it speaks to my message today. Are we up to the task of believers of living Yahweh's way in this world? Tent camping means getting literally in touch with the world, with the nature of the world. You become a part of nature. You breathe the open air. You drink the pure water from springs. You feel the warm sun on your face, maybe a little smoke in your nostrils from the campfire. And your music is the sound of nature. And it's a whole different world. It gives you a whole different perspective. No wonder Yahshua went out into the wilderness when he wanted to get alone and think about what was coming up in his life. He had to get away from the world and focus on what's important. You see the beautiful clear skies, nights that light up with a million stars, and you think, wow, this is Yahweh's world. I'm just so blessed to be able to enjoy some aspects of it. Some of the best times I had as a teen growing up in the West was taking a tent and a buddy and going up into the mountains and camping there in a tent overnight and drinking ice cold water from a stream flowing from a rock, trying to cook breakfast, you know, with the primitive pans I had and whatever. That was a challenge for a 15-year-old with cooking phobia, but I felt, wow, you know, I can do it. You know, I was my own person and I loved the challenge. You know, teenagers are constantly looking for being, for acceptance, for being like an adult and having their own independence. And that's how I felt when I did that. But, you know, sometimes you got to take the bad with the good. And I have a tip. Do not, trying to get rid of a skunk in your camp, do not shoot him up in the, up there in the upwind, up in the canyon, and then enjoying the fragrance all night long. Because I couldn't find that crazy skunk. And oh, well, we always do crazy things sometimes, especially when we're younger. We learn a little bit, think a little more, think things out a little more as we mature. Well, for those who are planning to camp at the Feast of Tabernacles at YRM, don't worry about skunks. There are none that I have seen around here. Just a picturesque setting for worshiping Yahweh, enjoying the best fellowship you're going to find on earth of Yahweh's people. And I mean that. Then there's another way of camping. An RV allows you to Take with you all the conveniences of home. You got your everything you need right there on wheels. In an RV, you don't need to contend with camping, sleeping on the hard ground, in a sleeping bag, cooking over an open fire, or hauling water from a stream. Just park your fully equipped RV on a cement slab in the midst of a few pine trees, hook up to water, sewer, and light, and with an antenna, maybe even with the internet, and you've got it made. No more contending with dirt, weather, or smoke. Well, it's called camping, you know. Yet it's decked out with the same furnishings and conveniences as your living room has. Nothing really challenging. Just bring along the comforts of home in an RV. It's easy. Today's question is, can we get the world out of us as we go out into the world? A life in Yahshua begins when many of the habits and the things of the past are left behind. And that's the biggest challenge we face as believers. Constantly removing those influences of the world in our life. We can't just say faith and grace covers all and continue living as we always have. You don't get baptized and not change your life after baptism. Maybe as I did, you experienced a spiritual euphoria when first finding the truth. It was amazing. It's like 1,000 light bulbs going off. It was new and exciting, and as you learned, things became so crystal clear, and you could prove it in the scriptures. That was what's so amazing about it. It was wonderful. We found the Rosetta Stone, and everything started to fit now. All the mysteries were fading away. We could understand the Bible for the first time in our lives. It was wonderful. Suddenly, the whole Bible came alive, and it made perfect sense. We wanted to tell the world, look, God has a name. He doesn't go by a title any more than you do. Look, the Sabbath is the seventh day, which you can easily prove by going right to your wall calendar and looking at the seventh day, and it's Saturday. It was simple. I mean, we weren't real deep at that point, but all these things were easily proved, something the church had been mistakenly bushwhacked for years, for centuries. Some of these doctrines, simple as can be, and yet they can't see it. You can easily see Sabbath on your wall calendar. Instead of strange worldly holidays filled with bunny rabbits and Valentines and Santa Claus, there are genuine, provable, biblical holidays right in your Bible, in the New Testament, that's right there honored by Yahshua and his disciples as well. A fact that your minister has kept secret from you all these years. For the first time, everything worked. Everything fit together. It was just amazing. We wanted to go out and tell everybody. Not everybody wanted to listen. They were simply not interested. Your many questions were being answered. The mysteries you always wondered about no longer were there. I can prove what I believe. It was a euphoric experience. But in all of our newfound understanding, we also learned that knowledge itself wasn't the whole of it. It wasn't the end all. You can have all the Bible knowledge in the world, but unless you do something with it, you're just massaging your own ego, like perhaps a Pharisee would. Paul knew that knowledge alone would not change the true seeker. He knew that. Changes come by way of the heart. He wrote in Romans 2:5, he says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Elohim, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Knowledge is fine. Are you applying it? Deed is a four-letter word to be avoided at all costs for most of churchianity. They try to use the scriptures against it. Utterly failing, by the way, and acting on your faith both in your life and for the good of others is not in the vocabulary of most people. That involves sacrifice of yourself. Sacrifice was difficult with Israel. Sacrifice is difficult today because it involves our heart and ourselves. in deference to Yahweh and others. Two of the questions we ask at baptism, we ask the baptismal candidates, have you repented of your sins? And they'll say, you know, yes, yes. And then are you willing to work with the body of Messiah to bring the truth to the world? That's the harder part, I believe. That's the harder part. To help others find this truth that leads to everlasting life. That's a mind change, and that's difficult. You have 10 times the knowledge of most churchgoers, and you have more understanding than many ministers, I wager. So is your light under a bushel? Are you burying your talent? Do you plan to unbury it, take it out, and give it back to Yahshua when he comes and say, here's your talent back. I didn't do anything with it. Most have no problem with the first baptismal question, but the second one is about doing something with your gift of knowledge to further Yahweh's kingdom, and that's what we're here all about. Using your gifts is what separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls. That's serving Yahweh in a priestly capacity, and that's our ultimate goal. The office of priest in the kingdom is exactly what we're all training to be in, to have one day. It's easy to just fellowship. That's a comfort zone. That's camping in an RV. But to get out and touch the wilderness at the ground level requires something a lot greater. That's the stuff of a true believer. Rubber meets the road. And that's where the believer needs to be if he expects to be rewarded one day, a position in Yahweh's kingdom. Paul expects his disciples to grow in spirit and grace, knowledge, behavior, attitude, in serving others in fellowship. Interacting with fellow believers was a key component of the Sabbath in the New Testament. Yahshua was always out among them. His disciples back there sleeping. What does he do? He's active. He's out there doing things. Caring for people. Working with them. Never stopping. Ephesians 4:13 calls it the unity of faith. He defines it as being a perfect man unto the stature and fullness of Yahshua. That's perfection. Yahshua says that's true religion. Are you working to apply the principles and teachings of Yahshua in your daily life? And then are you actively teaching your children without hypocrisy, living the things that you're teaching them so they're not saying, well, that's what they say, but that's not what they do. They learn much more by what you do than just talking. All of the study and learning we do is useless unless we apply it. You can have, I mean, there are people out there with PhDs, TTDs, DDDs, no, that's a dentist, but they got all these things after their name, and what are they doing with it? Nothing. Nothing. They're just accumulating. Accumulating and doing nothing with it. Because they don't understand what they're supposed to do with it. Preach the word is not just delving into nuances of law. It implies compliance. We talk a lot about obedience, but Yahshua's message in the Beatitudes of Matthew is pure application of the law to the heart. Pure application. This is the ultimate goal as taught by Yahshua. This is the reason we learn. Imagine a Pharisee reflecting on the Beatitudes of his life. Now there's a contradiction. Yahshua said in John 17:16 that his people are not of this present world, even as he was not. And they're not conformed to it. It's not their goal in life to make it in this world, to be successful in this world's terms. They're not even comfortable living in the world because there's so much against it in the scriptures. Especially with today's evils. Yahweh's word tells us that society is controlled by Hasatan, and who is always opposed to what Yahweh's people seek and drive for. He thrills at throwing a constant barrage of stumbling blocks in our way, especially around feast times. We know that. Those who contend or spend all their time pursuing the world are just wasting the precious gift of life. We're all given just so many years of life. We're all given, endowed with so many hours in the day. Are we making good use of that time? Approach to most people to life is completely backward. Yahshua said in Luke 12:30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Things, materialism, pleasures, all things that perish. When your life is over, the only thing that people are going to remember about you is what kind of person was he or she. That's the only thing that's going to matter. They're going to forget everything else. They're going to forget all you accumulated, all this and that. That'll all go. It'll all be sold off. It'll all go to someone else. But what kind of person were you? Not how famous they were, but what matters is what was in their heart. Yahshua admonished in Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim, and all of these things shall be added unto you. He didn't worry about it. He says no place to lay his head. You know, he didn't even have a regular house to live in. He was always out doing, seeking, teaching, admonishing. He admonishes in Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll make sure you have your needs met. Don't worry about that. Pursue what makes a difference, and he'll take care of the rest. You know, you look at famous people who worked all their lives to be somebody, and then they got old and died. What they were in their life has faded away. Where are they now? And the memory does too. It only takes a few years, gone and forgotten. You mentioned some, you know, like Humphrey Bogart to a millennial. He had no clue what you're talking about. Most of them. You know, all these famous people that we knew growing up, where are they now? Who even knows? Unless you watch an old movie or something. Or a past president. Can't even remember who the vice president is, most people. And what about a past president? You know, the kingdom should be our passion. It's what we should live for and die for. It's all that really matters. A righteous king is soon coming, and his kingdom will be established, and we need an overwhelming desire to be with him in that kingdom, to serve him. We need to learn how to serve now so that we can put that into practice then. We need to be assured that by what we do today that we'll be found worthy. Colossians 1:10, Paul says, that you might walk worthy of Yahweh and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of Elohim. With that in sight, we what? Conform to his will. We live a life of obedience to be found worthy of that kingdom. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind. That passage, think about it, just dynamites this charge that it's just works righteousness. Well, if it's not, you're not going to be in the kingdom. If you don't have a record of serving Yahweh in this life, you're not going to be in the kingdom. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, they may have right to the tree of life. No, we're not trying to earn anything. But number one, we are to be found worthy. Number two, we are to have the right to the tree of life. And that only comes through what we do with the knowledge that Yahweh gives us. You may enter in through the gates into the city. By the way, those gates are, each one is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 gates, 12 tribes. We go through Israel to get to the kingdom. We become a part of Israel, the only people that ever got that Yahweh ever made a covenant with. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever works and makes a lie, or loves and makes a lie. And because the kingdom is the message, we learn to think, act, and be like Yahshua, who is the king of the kingdom under Yahweh. That's what he came for. Yahshua says life is all about serving the Father. It was Yahshua's main purpose of coming to earth. Yahweh gave him what to teach. Yahweh gave him how to live. Yahweh gave him everything to advance the kingdom of his Father. Remember what Yahshua prayed in Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will. You know, I remember reading, or well, even speaking this when I was in the churches, and it never dawned on me. Think about it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not your will be done in heaven as it is in heaven. His will, his kingdom comes down to earth. And that's what Joshua's praying, praying that it will come to earth. This is the goal he always kept before him, preparing the earth to be Yahweh's ultimate throne and central seat of his power. In Luke 4:43, when the multitude wanted to him to stay there in Capernaum and teach, he said, I must preach the kingdom of Elohim to other cities, and therefore that's where I'm going. He preached the kingdom. You never hear about that today. You don't hear anything about the kingdom in most nominal messages. Nothing. They don't know anything about it. You know, for centuries, some scholars have used and abused Paul to justify moving away from Yahshua's kingdom message and to focus only on Yahshua's death and resurrection and how it supposedly stood in Yahweh's covenant and so forth. That's true. I mean, we have to, of course, acknowledge Yahshua's death, his resurrection, and what it did for us. Because without that gateway, without that door, we have no hope. Sure, it's important. It paved the way. But what's next? What's the point of the life we live? That's the question. What comes next? That's the big question you'll never hear answered out there. Because they don't know. Because they ignore half of Yahshua's message was the kingdom, and they ignore half of it. Did you know that Abraham was given a glimpse of the evangel of the kingdom in Galatians 3? Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel or the evangel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahshua the Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He heard the kingdom message. He heard the evangel. Abraham. And the Jews, what do? We rely on our father Abraham. And they forget the rest of that as well. The promise of the Spirit through faith. Who has ever brought this to the attention of the masses? Who's doing it today? You know, sometimes we have a powerful message out there, and we get comments, of course. A lot of people love it. Some don't like it. That's not our job to make someone like it. That's what the church did way back in the year zero. You know, that's what they did. There was no zero, by the way. It's one. But I'm just trying to make a point. All along, you try to make it palatable to the people, and you can't do it. The truth is the truth. You just preach it. That's all you can do. What people do with it is their problem. We're not going to back off from it. Traditional belief doesn't teach what comes next. Certainly, salvation is through Yahshua's blood. We understand that. But then what? What's the next step? Spending eternity lounging in clouds? You know, salvation is not eternal rest, doing nothing. Yahshua said what? He said, I work and my Father works. Actually, he said it the other way around. My Father works and I work. And that work will be shared with those having proved faithful to them. That's why we're here doing what we do. That's why we study the Word. It's all for a goal. It's all for an end product, so to speak. You can't cut it off in the middle and say, just rely on him, faith alone, and all this stuff that just fills up your mind with words but nothing tangible. Work gives blessings and deep down satisfaction, especially doing the work of Yahweh. Proverbs talks a lot about that, about the satisfaction we get out of doing, especially good work. Revelation 21 confirms that what many Old Testament prophecies say, that ultimately Yahweh the Father himself will leave those northern heavens and bring his throne right to earth after the millennium. So that's the ultimate goal, is the Father will come to earth and take over Yahshua's kingdom as well on this earth. Once this earth has been cleansed of sin, when the law is in place, everything, everywhere is living according to his standard, then Yahweh will come. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down from Elohim out of heaven. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men. The tabernacle is with men. Think about that. And he will dwell with them. Think about that. Living right there with Yahweh. And they shall be his people. And Elohim himself shall be with them and be with their Elohim. That is as far as the scriptures tell us about the future. We can only speculate after that what his plans are for all the other planets out there, all the other stars in the universe, the billions and billions of galaxies with their billions and trillions, I suppose, of stars. It's all in a magnificent plan. We're at the start right here in this earth. We're at the start of that plan. The throne of the Messiah and ultimately Yahweh the Father is to be relocated to earth. We're in training as key players in that kingdom rulership. It's the reason for living what we do. It's the reason for obedience. It's the reason we sacrifice in the first place. And to try to teach others. In order to teach and administer his will, we must first be proven ourselves that we can handle it. Those who can't will be discarded as unworthy, Paul said. They will not enter the kingdom, period. And Yahweh won't have an unrepentant lawbreaker running around in his kingdom. It won't happen unless he repents and changes. It all boils down to a plan, which Joshua called the evangel. Many define the evangel using only the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Then they stop after verse 4. Maybe we should do that to get the real sense of what I'm saying here. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the good news which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, but which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. If it was worthless to you, then it doesn't apply to you. You have no future. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's where they stop. That's where 99% of messages today out in churchianity stop. They don't go farther. They don't explain the rest of the chapter. They don't talk about what else. They don't talk about what's coming. They just stop there, stop with Yahshua's death and resurrection and, you know, his forgiving of sins, which, of course, is necessary. That's the first part. But that's as far as they'll go. They don't read verse 23, but every man in his own order. Yahshua the first fruits, afterwards they that are Messiahs at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Elohim, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued, on verse 28, unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, the Father, that put all things under him, that Yahweh may be all in all. Yahweh is the ultimate goal. Kingdom rulership, that's part of what's left out in discussions about the, quote, gospel or the evangel. Without a purpose, without a goal, it's all fluff. There's nothing there. The gospel message heard almost exclusively today is to get people resurrected and then leave them there. Leave them hanging there, if you will. Hanging in the air or clouds or whatever. What's the point of being resurrected if it all ends at the point of entry? What's the purpose? Millions have repented, they say. They've repeated the Savior's model prayer, thy kingdom come, and it doesn't click. What are they saying? Your kingdom's coming to earth. we don't go to heaven and don't understand what they're saying or why the kingdom is coming, which basically demolishes the whole purpose of life, why they're even here. Clouds and angel wings are as far as their understanding of the future goes, because that's all they've been taught, and it's not their fault. It's the fault of the teachers, as Yahshua battled the teachers when he was on earth. Our purpose and goal is to learn about living and reigning in Yahshua's kingdom that will come to earth. His will, he calls it his law, will go out of Zion, Jerusalem, to all the planet. Isaiah 2:3, and many shall go and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Now, these are the people who are physically on this earth at the millennium, who haven't learned, but they lived on. They escaped all the tribulation and so forth, and they said, he's going to teach us of his ways. Kind of like he's teaching us of his ways right now. Same thing. And we will walk in his paths. Oh, okay, we got to be obedient. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Here is the key to the coming kingdom. Yahweh's ways will be taught. They will be taught. They will be practiced in the kingdom. That's the end point. That's the whole purpose right there. And his law will go forth then throughout the whole world. Everybody's going to comply with it. They won't be arguing against it at that point, arrogant and saying you don't need that. Yahweh's people are practicing lawyers who are studying the laws, learning the laws. That'll be the constitution of the kingdom. They're putting them in practice now. Because we also know Ezekiel 44, 45, Zechariah 14, the feasts are going to be in vogue again, the animal sacrifices even for these people who are physically around at that time are going to have to do that because, well, I believe because they haven't understood Yahshua. Because Yahshua's role is going to change. How does observing his commands prepare us for the rulership of Yahshua on earth? Psalm 19, another law psalm. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. Now, there's a big disconnect here because the Pharisees were great law keepers. You couldn't out-Pharisee a Pharisee. I mean, he got it down to the molecule. But it didn't convert the soul. It didn't get to the heart. It was just action. It was just movement. It was just arrogance. It was just show. It didn't sink in. Kind of like our 15 inches of rain the last couple of weeks. A lot of it down the drain. But a lot of it did because we got good rain. On some days, slow and steady, and that's good. But these people had a problem, and Yahshua railed against them constantly. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. It should make us joyful to keep Yahweh's feasts and Sabbath. It should make us just thrilled because we're doing his will. What else is more important on this earth? What else? Rejoicing the heart, he says. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, lightening the eyes. It gives you understanding. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There you go. Great reward for doing Yahweh's will. Here's one for you. The law converts the soul and enlightens the mind. That's why. Go back. Go back to when you first learned the truth. It opened up so many things. It enlightened your mind about the Bible. That's why great understanding have they who love his law and do those things that please him. They don't grope around in spiritual darkness, not understanding anything. There are millions today groping around, clueless, when it comes to what the Bible is all about. They don't get the big picture. They're stuck. They're stuck in Paul. They're stuck somewhere in the New Testament. They can't see the panorama. They're stuck because they don't do Yahweh's will. He's not going to open it up until they decide that that's something I got to do. I got to change my heart, my mind, my soul, my deepest thoughts. We had a joke back in the old newspapering days. If you want to hide something, put it in the newspaper, because nobody's going to read it. I have a modification of that. You want to hide something, put it in the Bible. The same goes. It's even more true in Scripture, I think, because nobody even takes it with them anymore. And if they do happen to stumble upon a pearl of enlightenment that would bring them in line with the Word, what happens? The blind guides explain it away. That's Old Testament. That's works righteousness. We're under grace. You're a legalist. That's dead works. Oh, okay, I guess I was going the wrong direction. So they get deflected and maybe never come back. Take your pick of any one of those tired old excuses whose real purpose is to rein in a person from successfully bridging the traditional gap and come to a knowledge of truth, an error that's been out there for so long that they don't want you to change. You see that faith is part of obedience. Obedience is part of faith. They both go hand in glove. Beautiful harmony. It works. Why can't the establishment ever break free from its darkness? Well, there's a lot of motives for that. We know that. Don't want to lose your congregation, for one thing, because people are so bamboozled they wouldn't even understand it. And they would just leave. You lose your congregation, you lose your job. You know, I mean, it's pretty simple why they won't come out. We've had people in the past, I know, there was an elder up in Canada one time who decided, you know what? His name is right. I'm going to start preaching it. The next Sabbath, 50% of the people were gone. It was too misunderstood. They didn't know what he was talking about. They weren't challenged to understand it. They weren't, you know, they hadn't been brainwashed. They had been brainwashed, and they hadn't been enlightened, I guess I should say. So anyway, you just shake your head, and we have to go on. That's fine. I mean, many are called. Not everybody is called. And few are chosen. Not everybody's chosen. Out of that many that are called, there's just a small handful that are chosen. So we understand that. We understand that that's the way it is. Our job is to keep going with the truth, no matter what. We want the good understanding. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. What does Paul have to say about the evangel? Does he stop at the resurrection, or does he teach what Yahshua taught to go on? Romans 8, 17. He writes that the children of Elohim are joint heirs with Messiah. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Messiah. If so be that we suffer with him, that we might be also glorified together. So it takes some suffering. Yahshua suffered too. It wasn't easy street. It wasn't a free ride. It wasn't downhill with no effort. It was a challenge. It was overcoming. Yahshua says, you will have tribulation. Don't expect anything else. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And one day, you'll be rewarded for it. Never give up. On the morning show, one of the morning shows this week, a Navy SEAL had written a book for children, for youth. And he talked in there. I guess he's real popular. I've forgotten his, well, anyway, his calling on the internet. But he said, what stuck with my mind, he says, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up no matter what. Go the way you must go that you know is right and do it. And they asked him, well, you know, as a SEAL, we heard that, you know, everybody has reservations. Am I going to make it? Can I go, you know, do everything to become a SEAL, or am I going to wash out? He says, did it ever happen to you? He said, no, never happened to me. I just knew I was going to do this, and I was going to do it. So I said, we got to decide. We're going to do this. Nothing's going to dissuade us. Nothing. Because if we're faithful to Yahshua, he'll be faithful to us. And that's all that matters in this life. We've only got, you know, about 70 years to do it. And I've had people say, you know, I wish I knew this truth when I was 20 and not now that I'm 70. And I say, you know what? It's great that you found out. And it's wonderful that now you know. And Yahshua says it doesn't matter what phase you come in, you're still blessed. So don't ever think, you know, Yahweh called and he called you at a certain point in life. Don't ever question that. It was for a purpose. Maybe back then you wouldn't have thought anything of it. Maybe you would have thought, well, I have my own worldly goals, you know, to do first. I got a whole life ahead of me. I got to make my mark in the world and all this. You may not have even accepted it. But now, when you look back through the wisdom of age, you see what's important and what's not. What works and what doesn't. What's a dead end and what isn't. And you know, there's a point to it. So don't ever feel bad about a late introduction to the truth. If you be Galatians 3:29, if you be Messiahs, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we take part in that covenant if we be Messiahs. He made a covenant with Abraham. That translated down through Israel. And that also translates into the New Testament. A few different things changed. No animal sacrifices, the priesthood and all that. But the covenant, the whole essence of the covenant to follow his will is still there all the way through the Bible. Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So we have the book of life. Your name is either in it or it's not going to be in it. If it's not in it, there's no life. There's no afterlife. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades, or Sheol, or hell, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. That's twice mentioned. According to how you live your life. According to you do Yahweh's will or not. How we change and grow spiritually will impact our eternal future in the kingdom. And I got this graphic up there. You probably went, what is that doing there all this time? That's just priesthood in the kingdom. I mean, best I could do for an illustration. But that's what we're here for, to be a priesthood in Yahweh's kingdom. And so if that's our goal, we work every day toward that goal, doing what Yahshua would do. People say, well, how do you know? How do you know what you're doing is right? All you got to do is follow Yahshua. He's going to be your judge. Please the judge. What do you got to worry about? Please the judge. Do what he said. Do what he did. You know, be charitable to people. Be forgiving to people, but also resolute in Yahweh's word. Do what Yahshua did. You got it made. But that's not always easy in this world. We know that. It's going to be tough. But, you know, the effort is worth it. The price is worth it, no matter what. Like the woman who gave everything she had and put it in the temple treasury. She gave of her very existence. She gave of her bread for next week, her milk for next week. She dropped it in the treasury. And Yahshua said, he gave more than all you fat and happy Pharisees, and you're giving your thousands of dollars. She's given more because she had faith. She had faith that Yahweh is going to take care of her. We see it all the time. People who are faithful manage. They don't have to worry. They manage. Yahweh sees to it. How many stories have we heard? People say, you know, I gave my tithe even though I couldn't afford it. And guess what? Next week, I got a check in the mail. Huh? You know, I don't know where it happened, how it happened. Well, I know how it happened. And that they do too. But it would just shock them, you know, that actually Yahweh would come through as he said he would. It just, that's all we do. We just follow his will. And let him take care of it. It's just something we got to do. So make your life count, brethren. I guess that's the message today. I know this isn't, a very deep study. But sometimes we need just some encouragement. We need some help in just living, daily living. And make your life count. Serve Yahweh, not the world. The world's not going to last. It's getting worse. But don't ever back off. The price is too high. You've been called. You can't back off. You got to go through with it. He that, you know, goes back is not worthy of the kingdom. So that's my message today, and I hope it helps and strengthens each of us in our walk. May Yahweh bless you.